So it's kind of hard to be the speaker smack in the middle of the night. So I'll try to, Be'ezat Hashem, keep it interesting. First and foremost, I want to take a minute to bless our esteemed sponsors, Leilu Nishmat Rav Simcha Ben Mazal, Binyamin Ben Frecha, Leilu Nishmat Mazal Bat Yeshua, and Lehatzlachat Uriel Mizrakandov, Netanel Ben Ephraim, David Ben Simcha, Aharon Ben Zion, Rabbi Ephraim Shlomo Halberstam, Yonah Cohen Bachayev, Yosef Tzvi Davidov, Yaakov Davidov, Leilu Nishmat, Rivka Bat Chana Ishtam, and Rivka Bat Devora for Shiduch and Zechut of Am Yisrael. Thank you to Torah Anytime, and to Chazak, and to everybody else who is so involved in making tonight a reality. Gaon Kaf Chaim, in the halachot of Hosha'ana Rabbah, he says it's interesting that we call Hosha'ana Rabbah, Hosha means to save, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously is our salvation, Na is 51. 51 represents the 51 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until today, the 21st of Tishri, it's exactly 51 days, which means that the culmination, obviously, for most people, the highlight of their year is the Yamim HaNoraim, the days of awe. It's more of a generic, modern American term to call Yamim HaNoraim the high holidays. It's Yamim HaNoraim, it's days of awe, it's days of fear and trepidation, where our lives hang in a balance. And for many people, that's the focal point of their entire year. Chodesh Elul, the avodot of Chodesh Elul, slichot, and tachanonim, and tshuva, and shofar. And then you have Tishri, you have Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkot. And all of that culminates on Hosha'ana Rabbah, on the 51st day since Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is tonight and tomorrow, Hosha'ana Rabbah. It's not for naught that Hosha'ana Rabbah falls out on the... Now, first of all, the tshuva and din significance of Hosha'ana Rabbah doesn't show up in Shas. The Gemara says, the only significance that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkah that Hosha'ana Rabbah has is the fact that they did extra hakafot around the Mizbeach on Hosha'ana Rabbah, every day in Beit HaMikdash, every day of Chag HaSukkot, they circled, they made one circuit around the Mizbeach, one circle. On Hosha'ana Rabbah, they did seven. So that's why it's called Hosha'ana Rabbah. Hosha'ana means the supplications to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did it a lot. So therefore, it's called Hosha'ana Rabbah. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that there's a little bit more under the surface than meets the eye to Hosha'ana Rabbah. Now, although the entire Chag HaSukkot, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Tet Zayin that says, interestingly, every single one of the holidays of the year is a Yom Adin. It's a judgment day for something. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, B'Pesach Nidonim Ala Tevu'ah. On Pesach, we're judged. You know that we're judged for grain. How the grain's going to grow, how much bounty, Shefa, Pesach. Ba'atzeret nidonim al perot ha'ilan. Mishnah says on Shavuot, we are judged with regards to fruit trees. Yeah. When the Gemara calls Tu Bishvat, the Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot, it's not because the trees are judged on Tu Bishvat. That's not true. The Mishnah explicitly says the trees are judged, or we are judged regarding trees on Shavuot. Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot that we celebrate on Tu Bishvat is with regards to certain halachot of Orla and Trumot, and things of that nature. Then the Mishnah says, Bechag nidonin al amayim. On Chag HaSukkot, we're judged about matters of water, rain. That's why, as Rav Dahan said before so eloquently, everything about Chag HaSukkot revolves around water. Everything's rain, water. The Gemara tells us, first of all, and I'll tell you what's ironic about it in a moment, the Gemara tells us that one of the reasons that the mitzvah from the Torah is to take the lulav, just to take it. Torah says, "Kachtem lachem bayom arishon," just to take it. The Chachamim said, no, we don't just take the lulav. What do we do with it? We do na'anu'im. We wave it in all sorts of different directions. Molich, umevi, ma'aleh, umorid, out, in, up, down. why are we waving the lulav? The Torah doesn't prescribe that necessarily. The Gemara says, "Kedei la'atzor ruchot ra'ot v'talalim ra'im," in order to stop bad winds, bad rains, floods, which means that their Akadosh Baruch Hu implanted in Arba'at Aminim, lulav, etrog, hadas v'arava, the power to stop all sorts of interesting bad weather. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, also in Parashat Emor, every form of plant life in the world that grows, tree, shrubs, herbs, plants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates a specific malach to control the growth of that plant, of that tree, of that vegetation. There's only four exceptions on the planet of plants or things that grow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't pass the keys over to a malach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it grow, b'chvodo v'atzmo. What's that? Says the Zohar HaKadosh, Arba'at Aminim, Lulav, Hadas, Arava, Ve'etrog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes those grow himself, he didn't give it to malachim. Zohar Meforash from Parashat Emor, very interesting. Now, that being said, what else is about on Chag, on Sukkot? The Gemara says every day of Chag HaSukkot, there, in the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, there were two holes. They were called Nekavim, two holes. One of the holes of the Mizbeach was used every single day of the year. What was that used for? Nesachim, libation offerings. Every Korban, almost every Korban, was brought with wine. What did they do with the wine? It wasn't drunk. The wine was poured as part of the offerings, part of the Korban. It was poured down the holes of the Mizbeach, and then it poured down from there into the Tehom. The Gemara says that there were holes that went down into the abyss, and that's what happened. The Gemara also says, Masechet Sukkah, once every few years, they used to go in and clean it so it didn't get clogged, and what happened was the hole where the wine went into for the Nesachim, the wine was became congealed, and it became like all sorts of stones and rubies and whatever. That was the congealed wine. It was Nikrash. It congealed into all sorts of beautiful formations. That was the Chibuv Mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted the Nesachim from Am Yisrael. And then there was another hole right next to that, to its west, on the Mizbeach, that was used only once a year. What was that hole for? That was for also Nesachim, but not for Nisuch Yain. It was made for Nisuch Maim. It was to pour water. The Kohen, HaMakriv, would pour water every day of Chag HaSukkot down that hatch, Nisuch Maim. It was, and the Gemara tells us, Nisuch HaMaim was Halacha LeMoshe MeSinai. Even though it doesn't say it in the Torah necessarily, it was a Din Torah derived from Halacha LeMoshe MeSinai. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah tells a story that the Tzedokim, who were kind of, they were Jews, but they were a little bit of a cancer during Bait Sheni and the Tkufa that followed that, Baruch Atah Adonai, Elohim Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihya B'Dvaro. So one time, there was a Kohen who was a Tzedoki. Tzedokim, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the oral Torah. Halacha LeMoshe MeSinai is an oral transmission of the Torah. So by virtue of the fact that this Kohen was a Tzedoki, he didn't believe in Torah She'Be'al Peh. And what happened was, because of that, he didn't believe in Nisuch HaMaim. It doesn't say Nisuch HaMaim in the Torah. It doesn't write it explicitly. Therefore, he didn't believe in it. What did he do? He was doing the Avodah, one of the days of Chag HaSukkot, and instead of pouring it down the hole to do the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMaim, he tried to kind of conceal it, but he poured the water on his feet. B'davka not to be mekayim the mitzvah. The Gemara says that everybody who was in the vicinity of the Mizbeach, the Kohanim, Am Yisrael, who were in Ezrat Yisrael, they were doing a kafot, they saw that. Yeah, what does the Gemara say? V'ragmu oto kol ha'am be'etrogehim. All of Am Yisrael, whoever was in Beit HaMikdash, stoned this tzedoki to death with their etrogim. You mess with the Torah, you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns. That's what happened. They killed the mamash on the spot. Anyway, mikol makom, that was another four. And about that, there's a Navi. The Navi Yeshaya writes, Ush'avtem maim besason v'ma'ine Yeshua, will draw water with joy from the springs of salvation. That's a reference to the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMaim. So we already have Nisuch HaMaim. You have Lulav Ve'etrog, which stops bad water. But what's interesting is that when do we start praying for water? Not on Sukkah. It's Machloket Tanaim, La'alacha. we hold, like Rabbi Yoshua, when do we start asking for rain? We start not asking, but we start mentioning Gvurot Geshamim. Me'matay mazkirin Gvurot Geshamim, the very first Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit. We start from Musaf of Motza'ei Yom Tov, which means Musaf of Shmini Atzeret, which means we want to pass the entire Chag HaSukkot, and the Gemara explains why is that, because we know there's another Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah that tells us that rain during Chag HaSukkot is not a good sign. It's not a good omen. If it rains during Chag HaSukkot, the Mishnah says it's like a Eved Shemazag Kos LeRabo V'Shafach LoRabo Kiton Al Panav. It's like a servant who pours a cup of water, a cup of whatever beverage for his master, and his master throws it in his face. Because of that, last week, everybody got nervous, especially it was pouring rain right before the Chag and almost into the Chag. People are very nervous they won't be able to do it. I pointed out last week, I don't know if you saw, there's a few mefarshim that explain the Bikurei Yaakov and Rabbeinu Chaim Palachi in Sefer Mo'ed LeKol Chai. They both quote the Sefer Chemdat Yamim, one of the Gdolei Mekubalim in the times of the Ari HaKadosh. He writes that this only applies, when is it that the Gemara says that it's a bad sign when it rains on the first night of Sukkot? First of all, it's a machloket, whether it's only on the first night of Sukkot or is it throughout Sukkot, machloket Rambam and other poskim. But let's assume it's only on the first night for a second. That's only when it was clear the whole day and davka bilel Sukkot on the first night, boom, it starts raining. That's a siman klala. However, if it was raining before already, and then that rain just continues into the night of Sukkot, the Chemdat Yamim says, that's not gishme klala, that's gishme bracha. That's considered blessed rain. So that's first thing to take it easy. That's number one. Number two, Agon Sfat Emet, Migur, he writes that the Mishnah says that rain during Sukkot is a bad sign, right? The Tana, where were the Tanaim from? Tanaim were from Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, rain during Chag HaSukkot is very highly, highly uncommon. It doesn't rain in Israel until much later in the season, Cheshvan, which is a good thing. Yeah, Nachon, that's the way it goes. So rain in Eretz Yisrael during Sukkot is completely out of the ordinary, and if that happens, it's a siman klala. But in countries outside of Eretz Yisrael, where it's considered a rainy season even during Sukkot, America's rainy season all the time, yeah? So over there, it's not a siman klala. So just to take things, take everything with in the right perspective, it would, Baruch Hashem, we had the zechut to sit. I told my children on Erev Sukkot last week, it was Friday, Erev Sukkot, I said, it's pouring the whole day, flooding, pouring, it looked pretty bad. I said, we're going to sit down. I sat down to tie my lulav, and afterwards I took the kids and I said, we're going to sit down and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, Abba, what are we davening for? I said, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, not Hashem, but the Chachamim, for, Beruach Kocham, they understood that on years when Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot fall out, the first days fall out on Shabbat, there's no Sukkah, there's no Shofar, no Lulav. So this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the first day took away our Shofar Midoraita. Hashem took away our Lulav Midoraita this year. I said, there's no way Hashem is going to take away our Sukkah Midoraita also. Can't happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to sit down and pray. And then after we pray, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, he's going to do. We sit down and pray. And we sat down, we said a Perek Tehilim together, and we prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, HaTov Be'ainecha Aseh. Do what's best in your eyes, but please let us sit in the Sukkah the way you commanded us. And Mamash, I remember coming to Shul, it was still pouring, and then there was like a half hour right during, between Mincha Ve'Arvit, it stopped, and then it cleared up, and then there was like a few hour break, and we sat, and then started raining again. It was a big Siyata Dishmaya. It was a very, very interesting thing. It looked like a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mamash, he gave us a kiss, like we said before. Mamash, a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift that we were able, Chodesh Tishri, there's a Gemara, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph. The Navi in Melachim calls the Beit HaMikdash was built B'yedach HaEtanim. I'm sorry, it was built in Chodesh Ziv, which is Chodesh Iyar, and Shlomo HaMelech made the inauguration, the Chanukat HaBayit, B'yedach HaEtanim. What's Yedach HaEtanim? The Gemara says it's a reference to Chodesh Tishri. That year, that was the only year in the history of Am Yisrael that nobody in Am Yisrael fasted on Yom Kippur. You know that. The year that the Beit HaMikdash was inaugurated, Shlomo HaMelech made 14 days of celebration, which fell out during Chodesh Tishrei, during Yom Kippur, And because of that, the inauguration, the simcha of the inauguration of Beit HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin ruled, overruled the fast of Yom Kippur Midoraita because of the simcha of Beit HaMikdash. That was that. That was the only time in Jewish history that Am Yisrael as a whole didn't fast on Yom Kippur. So anyway, says the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, why is it that Chodesh Tishri is called Yerach HaEtanim? B'lashon HaKodesh, Etan means what? Etan means strong. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Etan Moshavecha, V'sim Basel Akinecha, Bil'am said it, but it's a bracha. Etan means strong. Maskil Le'etan HaEzrachi, who's called Etan? It's in Tehillim a bunch of places. Etan HaEzrachi, the Gemara says, is Avraham Avinu, because he stood strong against the rest of the world in his belief for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, why was Tishri called Yerach HaEtanim? The Gemara says two reasons. Reason number one, Mipnei shenoldu bo etanei olam, because the mightiest of the world were born during Chodesh Tishri. Who's the mightiest of the world? Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Besides for Yitzchak, Yitzchak was born on Pesach, that's a different story. But Avraham v'Yaakov were born on Chodesh Tishri. One answer. Second answer the Gemara says is Mipnei sheYisrael etanim bo b'mitzvot, because Am Yisrael, per capita, which month has most mitzvot of the year in it? Which month? Every other month you have a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. Chodesh Tishri, Shtabach Shemo. You have so many. Shofar, Yom HaKippurim, Aseret Yemei, Mitzvah Teshuvah, Sukkah, Lulav, the Chagim. Tishri is the most fortified of all of the other months of the year in terms of mitzvot. But on a year like this, although we're following the edict of the Chachamim, obviously it goes without saying that we have to, but we feel a little bit maybe emptier or not as fortified. Nevertheless, don't be afraid. There's a Gemara. Everybody knows. The Gemara says, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Kol Shana, She'en Mere'in La B'tchilata, Mere'in La B'sofa, She'en Tok'in B'tchilata, Mere'in La B'sofa. Any year that the shofar is not sounded in the beginning ends up being a bad year, which sounds pretty scary, sounds pretty ominous. The Tosafot, on the spot, quote Ba'al Halachot Gedolot, and they say it's not talking about a year where Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. Because over there, you're doing Kedat HaChachamim. The Chachamim said not to, so you're listening. There's no way we can lose out by listening to the Chachamim and fortifying our Shmirat Shabbat, which is the reason for the Gzirat Chachamim, was in order to fortify Shabbat. Rather, says Tosfot, what's it talking about? It's talking about tzibur shene'ensu velo tak'o. If there's a tzibur in Am Yisrael that for whatever reason, let's say it was a regular year, where Rosh Hashanah fell out on a regular weekday, and the tzibur didn't blow for whatever reason, that tzibur is going to have a very, very rough year. Many poskim actually take note of years where that happened in certain keilot, where it happened that they had an ones, they didn't have a shofar, something happened, and those years ended up being very difficult and tragic ones. So, but just to put things in perspective, just to go back to that story, I said, to have something left, something midoraita from Chodesh Tishri left. This year, no shofar, no lulav midoraita, sukkah Hashem is going to take away? No way! Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. Mikol makom, isn't it ironic that the entire Chag HaSukkot revolves around water? And it's a Yom HaDin of water. And we pray for it, we're judged about it, and yet water during Chag HaSukkot, after Chag HaSukkot, it's good. We start saying Mashiva Ruach on Shmini Atzeret. But on Chag HaSukkot, no water. Which means the whole theme of the Yom Tov is water, and water is a bad thing on Chag HaSukkot. How does that work? Isn't that a little bit paradoxical? Isn't that contradictory? How do you understand that? Rather, the Ari HaKadosh explains that a sukkah, as was mentioned before, a sukkah is like the Zohar actually uses this term, tzila de me'emnuta. If you read the Ushpizin and the Shem Yichud of Sukkah, we speak about it many times, tzila, tzel, shade, de me'emnuta, a faithfulness. When a person sits in the sukkah, not only is it reminiscent, not only is it to remember the Ananei HaKavod, but it's like mamash, we're sitting together with the Shekhinah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a hug. Sheneemar, semolo tachat leroshi, vimino techabbekeni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a hug with his right hand, that's the mitzvah sukkah. Although we're being judged on Chag HaSukkot, interesting, ironic, by the time Shemini Atzeret comes and we start saying Mashiach Baruch and we start praying for rain, the judgment for Maim is already done. The judgment for Maim was on Chag HaSukkot. Misuch HaMaim is already done. They don't do Misuch HaMaim on Shemini Atzeret anymore in the Mikdash. Misuch HaMaim was done only 7 days of Chag HaSukkot. So why are we avoiding the water during Chag HaSukkot? Why is it Siman lo kol kach tov? Why is that? Because anything that would come between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, not only that, the Gemara tells us that when it starts raining, what's the shiur of rain that a person's patur from sitting in the sukkah? The Mishnah says, Mishetisrach mikpa, which means it's raining so heavily into the sukkah that if you'd have, mikpa is a kind of soup or some sort of congealed food, if the food would start getting messed up, you're patur misukkah. Okay. And not at that point, the Gemara says that a person should go in. The Rama actually brings down that if it's raining, some people have all sorts of interesting things of staying in the sukkah when it's pouring, whatever. The Rama says, Meforash, quoting the Maharil, Rabbi Yaakov Molin, Le'alacha, in Siman, Tafresh Mem Aleph. He says, Tafresh Mem Aleph, what's the halacha if it's raining hard? A person should not stay in the sukkah anymore. It's an indication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants you to go inside. And therefore, if a person stays in there, the Gemara tells us, kol ha-patur midavar ve'osehu nikra hediot. If a person is exempt from a certain mitzvah, and you're fighting to, again, not that it's a chumrah to do it. If you're completely exempt and everybody's exempt, and you're doing it anyway, the Gemara says, nikra hediot. It's called a foolish person. You're not supposed to do that. Nevertheless, the poskim bring down on this halacha, even when you leave the sukkah, lo yiv'ot bo. Which means, don't kick it. Don't, rather, be mekabel be'ahava. Anything Hashem sends, okay. Hashem, this time you didn't want my mitzvah. It's okay. You told me, originally you said you wanted the mitzvah. Now you kicked me out. I still love you. Thank you anyway. Thanks for the opportunity. We tried. That being said, when it rains during Chag HaSukkot, that interferes with the hug. That's why the mitzvah of Chag HaSukkot is the Gemara tells us mitzvah sukkah as opposed to mitzvah lulav. How come the mitzvah of sukkah, how do we know is more important to mitzvah? Bayom uvalayla. Whereas mitzvah sukkah, how many times a day can you make birkat lishev basukkah on Sukkot? Unlimited. Anytime there's a machloket exactly what you're mevarich on. La halacha, Maran HaShulchan Aruch rules that you only make a bracha on achilat keva, when you eat a meal of a settled character. But if you eat many meals during the day in the sukkah, you can make many brachot v'lishev basukkah. Whereas, netilat lulav, how many times a day on Sukkot can you make the bracha of netilat lulav? Once. That's it. Even, can I take the lulav multiple times a day on Sukkot? Sure. Not only that, the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it down, kachayim min hagan shel neki adat b'Yerushalayim. What did Anshei Yerushalayim used to do? He says, Yotze leitpalel lulavo biyado. He says, Yotze levaker cholim lulavo biyado. Yotze lenachem avelim. They used to hold their lulav etrog all day long. They used to walk around with it. They used to go do all of their errands and all of their mitzvot while holding the lulav etrog. And yet, there's only one bracha a day, because the mitzvah of lulav is only mitzvah during the day. During the night, there's no mitzvah. However, the mitzvah of sukkah is bayom uvalayla. It's unending. It continues all day long for a duration of 7 days, night and day, night and day. Says the Ben Ishchai, which is more important? The Ben Ishchai in Parashat Ha'azinu, in Ilchot Sukkah, writes, which is more important? Which is a more, what we'll call it, a more severe or more stringent mitzvah? Eating or sleeping in the Sukkah? Sleeping. What's the Raya? What's the Halacha? If you eating a snack, a meal of an unsettled character out of the sukkah. Mutar or asur? Mutar. Anything that's la'alacha. Again, there's chumrah. People try to eat as much, whatever they can in the sukkah. Bevadai. But la'alacha. Anything that is under a kabitza of hamotzi or mizonot, and any other bracha, any other food or beverage, can be eaten outside the sukkah. And therefore, you know, that's called seudat arai. However, with regards to sleep, la'alacha is, the Ben Ishchai brings down from Kama Poskim. If you see a person, let's say you're in shul, and you see a person dozing outside the sukkah, Ben Ishchai says you have a chiyuv la'alacha to wake him up. You're not allowed to let him fall asleep. Why? Because shenat arai, as opposed to eating of an unsettled character, a snack, is mutar outside of the sukkah. What about a nap outside the sukkah? Not going to sleep for the night, just putting your head down, just dozing off, is asur chutz la sukkah. You know that. Even to doze off, Ben Ish Chai Meforash in Parashat Ha'azinu, you see a person dozing off during Sukkot, boom, knock him, get into the sukkah. You're not allowed to even doze off outside the sukkah. And he says, that being said, not getting into now the halachics of, I don't know, there's a common American misconception, I'm not sure why this is, that the mitzvah of sukkah is eating in the sukkah. Unless you're like in a very from yeshivish neighborhood, most people don't sleep. In Israel, it's completely different. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody sleeps in the sukkah. Everybody. Obviously, besides for people who can't, whatever, but that's the norm. In America, unfortunately, the norm is most people don't, and only select few do. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat and sleep, teshvu ka'in taduru, to sit and dwell, and in Yiddish there's a word, fabreng, to be in the sukkah, the way you spend time in your house throughout the year, that's how you spend time in your sukkah. There are reasons, there are valid reasons in halakha that the poskim bring down in Siman Tafresh Mem to exempt the person, especially in America, from sleeping in the sukkah. Weather-wise, bugs, safety, wife, there are reasons brought down in the poskim, but you can tell that the poskim say it as, you know, it's like a, you know, it's a way out. The mitzvah obviously still stands. Anyway, but just to, I'm saying that to dispel the misconception, there's no such thing as sleeping in the sukkah in America. That's kfirah. You just remove the mitzvah from the Torah. What does that mean? Of course there is. If a person has an exemption, that's a different story. Anyway, back to what we were saying before. Why do we not pray for rain beginning on Chag HaSukkot? Because rain would interfere with that hug. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want to be zochet to my hug, you have to leave your house. When a person's inside his house, feels secure. He feels, kochi ve'otzem yadi asa li etachai lazeh, feels that maybe he's untouchable. Hashem says, it's very hard to connect with me in a person's house throughout the year because he feels untouchable. You really want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Torah says about the Mishkan. Before the Chet HaEgel, where was Oel Moed? Oel Moed was inside the Machane. After the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget it. This is what happens when the Oel Moed is here. Rather, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Take Oel Moed, take the Mishkan, and take it outside the Machane. V'aya kol mevakesh Hashem. Anybody who wants to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yetzel chutz l'machane. Should go there. Hashem says, you want me? You're going to have to follow me outside. The Navi, right in the beginning of Yirmiyah, at the end of Pirik Aleph, we see it two times a year. It's Haftarat Shemot, and also again Haftarat Pinachas, before Tisha B'Av. What does it say over there? We saw it most recently during Musaf of Rosh Hashanah in Zichronot. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Zacharti lach chesed ne'uraich ahavat kelulotayich. Hashem says, I remember your original love and dedication to me of your youth. When was that? Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zeru'ah. Hashem says, the fact that you walked, the fact that you came after me in the desert, in an uninhabited place, you came to seek me out there, Hashem says, I remember that. You have a zechut. That I remember. What do you see? In order to really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to leave our physical, and especially our emotional, mental comfort zones, and come towards, Hashem says, I'm not coming to you, I'm not chasing you. That was during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Hashem chased us enough during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. During the rest of the year, Sukkot included, Hashem says, show's over. Now you want me? Now you have to chase me. It's not Chas V'Shalom Hashem playing hard to get. Hashem says, in order to show me that you have some dedication, you have to sacrifice something. On Sukkot, sacrificing a little bit of comfort. We're going outside. Now you're right, mitzta'er patur min ha-sukkah. But at the end of the day, even when a person's not mitzta'er, it's not the same. You're not sitting at your table. You don't have all your creature comforts. Hashem says, now we can connect. Now I can give you a hug. On my territory, on my terms, Hashem says, I'm able to do that. Now, that being said, now we understand why even though the theme of the entire Chag HaSukkot is Maim, everything, Darabat HaMinim, Nisuch HaMaim, Nidonin Man HaMaim, everything about Sukkot revolves around water, and yet, dealing with this paradox, that water, that rain during Chag HaSukkot, is a Siman Klala. How is that? It's a Siman Klala, because it's going to force us, the rain would force us back inside. Forcing us back inside is forcing us back into our element. And Hashem says, when you're in your element, it's that much harder to connect. You don't have that bechina of simolot tachad leroshi v'minot tachad bekeni. We don't have that hug from HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside the house. That is the secret of Chag HaSukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, is the last day. Day 51 of since Rosh Chodesh Elul, that culminates everything. Our last, and then we celebrate. Shemini Atzeret Simchat Torah, we celebrate it's Shemini Atzeret Simchat Torah is like the Kiddush of the Yamim Noraim, nachon? You celebrate some occasion, so you have the ceremony, whatever it is, so you have the whole Chodesh Elul, Aseret Mit Teshuvah, Sukkot, whatever, and then Simchat Torah is the Kiddush. That's when everybody goes down to celebrate. Yev L'chaim, that's the Kiddush of the entire Yamim Noraim. However, in order to be zochet to the Kiddush, you got to go through the motions first. You got to, Kiddush has to celebrate something. There's got to be a bris, a bar mitzvah, a wedding. It's got to be something to celebrate. If a person has nothing to celebrate, so what are you going to the Kiddush for? Nachon? So that's the idea here. That's one of the ideas behind Hoshana Rabbah, to prepare us, to get us in check this final day before we go and celebrate the Kiddush of the Yamim Noraim, just to prepare ourselves accordingly and to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us one last hug before we go about our way. The most depressing, when's the most depressing time of the year? At least for me. Motza'e Simchat Torah. Ooh, super depressing, right? All over. It's all over. Yamim Noraim, Elul, growth. Closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah, Sentime Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchat Torah, and then, boom, cold, dark, long winter. Rav Victor Miller used to say, it's interesting, the only month of the year, there's a play on words, that's why it's called Mar Cheshvan, which is not really, the name of the month is Mar Cheshvan, but the only month of the year that has absolutely nothing, no holidays, no fast days, no tragedies, no, just nothing, is Cheshvan. Why is that? Because now Cheshvan is the start of the winter. Right after Simchat Torah, we're starting winter. Winter has long nights. The Gemara tells us in Masechet, right tail end of Masechet Ta'anit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why from Tu Be'av do we have to start learning more? Because the nights get longer. As the Gemara tells us, La'ivre sihara ela legrisa. You know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created night? Why does Hashem create, sihara literally means the moon. Why does Hashem create moon and night? One reason. You know why? So that others can go to sleep and not bother us, so that we can sit and learn. That's why Hashem created night. That's why there's nighttime. Yeah, eventually you have to go to sleep too. But there's night so that we can learn undisturbed. For Torah, that's what it is. So he says Rav Victor Miller, Chodesh Cheshvan has nothing in it. Hashem says, now you went through a whole high, going through all the Chagim and whatever. Now take the Chagim and apply it to the Torah. Now Hashem says you'll have, between Motza'e Simchat Torah, what's the next holiday after Simchat Torah? Chanukah. You have almost exactly 2 months between Motza'e Simchat Torah and Chanukah. Hashem says, you had all these 51 days, you had this Chizuk of Yerech HaEtanim, let's see what you got. Let's see how you can learn. Let's see how you can connect to me. Even when there's no holidays, that's the Torah post Chagim. So it's not really depressing if we know how to take the Chagim along with us throughout the long, dark winter. Thank you for listening. Tizkur Shem Rabot, Na'imot V'Tovot.